finally got the new projectors in and installed, and you'd think preacher remembered to turn in his outline to the video booth. Well, he didn't. But you can be turning this morning to Acts chapter 4. We are grateful that this evening we will be having missionary Andy Sturm, the missionary to England, with us. And we trusting that the new projectors are going to be a blessing when we have missionary videos and different things like that, especially. Appreciate those who labored to get all that put together, those who continue to labor week in, week out, in the video and a sound booth to make all that possible. I learned a long time ago from old-time preachers, you do your best as a preacher to not offend the guys in the sound room. They can make or break you. And so we appreciate our guys back there doing a good job. If you found your place in Acts chapter 4, please, please stand with me. Pray for those who weren't able to be with us today. I think some, especially maybe some of our mature saints, didn't dare out with the rain and all the water. So you pray for them. Pray that possibly they'd be watching the services stream today over the internet. Hopefully that's possible for them. We read here, we're only going to read a couple verses, but we're going to look at a portion of this chapter today. But we'll pick up in verse 12. Familiar words from Acts chapter 4, where Luke writes, and under the words of Peter here, and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw, they being the Jewish leaders, members of the Jewish council, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, we bow before you. We're so thankful for your word. Lord, I just rejoice in Christ today in your spirit for the good Spirit here, the music that we've heard. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be ready to hear from you. We're asking you, Lord, to take absolute, complete control. Get the preacher out of the way. Securely hiding behind your Son's cross. Father, that you would direct and order each word that is said. Father, we're praying liberty for the preacher and clarity of understanding of the passage. But most of all, we're asking you, Father, that you would attend to what goes on here by your Spirit and power. Lord, I ask you, in Jesus' name, be anyone within these walls today that is not saved, does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I plead with you. Oh God, in Jesus' name, please. Draw them savingly, gloriously to yourself. That name, the lovely name of Jesus Christ, they might put their faith in Him. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your Son today. Thank you for Jesus. In His name that we ask it and pray. Amen. And amen. Of course, we be seated. You're mindful some weeks ago we had preached from Acts chapter 3, talking about that event there in the temple where that impotent man, that crippled man, had received healing. Of course, healing of God through the ministry of Peter and John. Well, what we have here in chapter 4 records the actions of the Jewish leaders. That even during that sermon that Peter was preaching, interrupted. And as we read in verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people, preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And this gang laid hands on them and put them in the jailhouse overnight, as we'll see as we go along here. didn't let Peter even finish his sermon, put him and John under arrest. Why did they do that? Because they were preaching Jesus. They preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, it's no accident that the Sadducees are mentioned there in verse 1. The Sadducees rejected that there would be any resurrection. They did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Oh my, I can't get any cornier than that. They were arrested. Peter and John were arrested. But I would to God that all of us would be guilty of the crime of telling people how they might know of Jesus Christ and have resurrection or have everlasting eternal life. These men were faithful to preach the gospel regardless of what it might cost them. They stood for the truth concerning Jesus. And again, might we receive that exhortation and challenge to stand true for our Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached, and there were some folks, interestingly, that it was the religious leaders of the day. Remindful, it was the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. The religious crowd didn't like it. Well, sometimes that'll be the case. When you stand upon the Bible, when you preach the pure Word of God, there's the religionists, if you will, won't like it. They'll object to that. When you say that it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that saves, they won't like that. But they did what they knew was right. They chose to go with the Lord and not with what men would tell them to do. In verses 19 and 20, later on in this encounter, as they were ordered to not preach in that name, it says in verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Interesting. They're challenging again these religious leaders. Who should we obey? You or God? For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Might that be our testimony? We're gonna tell folks what God has done for us. We're gonna testify and declare what God has done in us and for us. Well, how should we make decisions, beloved? How should we decide how we're gonna live? Well, simple. Just do what you know will please God. Do what you know will please the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what you understand and you know will honor Him, and don't worry about what men think. Will it always be popular? No. It might not be popular on this side of glory, but it will be popular with God. That's what Peter and John did. But it came at great personal cost to them. And I don't want to repeat worn out cliches, but here it is anyway. What price are we willing to pay to please God? What are we willing to pay? What are we willing to endure to please God? In Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, interesting words here. Listen to this. In verse 40 it says, "And to him they agreed when they had called the apostles." Again, this same crowd here. They called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Well, what was their reaction? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen indeed. Might that be our testimony? That regardless of what might come, and we don't know what may come in these crazy days in which we're living, but let's stand true for the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we willing? What are we willing to do to see folks saved, even in our days? What is consuming our effort in these days? What do we give our energies to? Oh my, so much. The way I see it, the only thing that really matters, the only thing that really matters, beloved, is obeying God and seeing how many folk we might be able to take the glory with us. Huh? Isn't that it? Oh, yes. Peter and John proclaimed the gospel, the true gospel, as we read here in verse 19 of chapter 3, in the midst of that sermon. Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We need to preach the gospel, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it cost them. It cost them personally. But what did God do? Well, verse 4 of our passage of chapter 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard," those that Peter was preaching to, Peter and John were preaching to, "believed." They believed. "And the number of the men was about 5,000. Hey, hallelujah. Are we willing to pay a cost to see men saved? And there's been debate over the years whether this was just talking about the men that were saved that day, which may well be. Some would say no, that was using that word "man" in the generic sense. Well, I don't know. 5,000 folks, hallelujah, period. Huh? Would we see God moving in such power even in our days? Obviously, Peter and John's preaching had the anointing of God, the power of God on it. And the Lord used them in an amazing way, in tremendous ways. Many today would explain away what happened here. They'd explain it away and say, "Oh, that was wonderful, but that was the first century, and God doesn't do like that now. That was then and this is now." I don't swallow that so easy, beloved. I just can't go along with that. I check this out, and it seems like our message is the same message that Peter and John was preaching. Same gospel. Lord forbid that we would change the gospel. As I understand it, the Holy Spirit that fills this place today is the same Holy Spirit that anointed the preaching of Peter. Is that right? I believe it's right. Was Peter and John's God the same God that we serve? Absolutely. Well, I ask the question then. Well, what's the problem? What's the problem? Is there a key for us to know the real power of God upon our ministries, upon our church? Hey, upon this pulpit. Regardless of who stands behind it. I want to see God bless. I'm longing to see folks saved. Hey, I long for the day that these altars might be filled with those that are seeking Jesus and His forgiveness and cleansing. Is there another answer? I believe we can see something in these verses that would tell us. Tell us something maybe we need today, and we'll get to that, hopefully, with the Lord's help. We see here that these men preached boldly. We've said that already. They preached boldly. Listen to this, what Peter said to this very council that he was standing before, picking up here in verse 7. It says that when they had set them in the midst, when they brought Peter and John and set them in front of them, and they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" What they were asking Peter and John, it was, "What authority do you have to be preaching in the temple in this name? Who gave you authority to be teachers here?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. There's key number one. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need to walk in the fullness, live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He acknowledges their place. He acknowledges even a respect for them. He says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, speaking of that man that had been healed that day in the temple, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. There's some boldness for you. Huh? These folks that arrested them, put them in the jailhouse overnight. They had power. They had authority. And Peter stood before them, stuck his finger in his face. You want to know whose authority we're preaching in? You want to know who's commissioned us? It was Jesus Christ. The one that you killed. The one that you murdered. It's in His name that this man was healed. It's in His name that he stands before you whole. There's boldness for you. Oh my. Verse 11. This, speaking of Jesus, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Here you are, the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders. You're the one that is to be edifying us and building us up. You're the one that will be feeding the people the Word of God. And here, Jesus is the stone that you've rejected. He's the one that you've laid aside, and yet He has become the very head of the corner. He's the foundation stone. He's that very keystone that holds the whole thing together. And you've rejected Him. And he goes on, he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. These men have been preaching the simple message of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We just get back to basics, you know. It so disturbed the religious crowd that they, as we said, wouldn't even let them finish. It's amazing. It's amazing what we can take away from the preaching. Now, I do believe that God has the ability to take the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and meet every single need in the church house. But at times it's amazing what we might take away from the message. A preacher can preach one thing and someone can get something totally different from it. There was a preacher one time, and here he had taken these four jars and he set them out there on the pulpit. He thought, I'm going to use an illustration today. I'm going to use some visuals. And there was the one bottle was filled with alcohol. The one bottle was filled with cigarette smoke. And one bottle was filled with chocolate syrup. And another bottle was filled with nice, rich soil. I was going to say dirt, but that's not sophisticated. Well, into each one of those, he put a worm. He put a worm in each one. The bottle of alcohol, the bottle of smoke, the chocolate, and the nice, rich soil. And he went on, he preached his message, and at the end of the message, he pointed out to the folk there that day, here the jar of alcohol, the worm's dead. And he sat it down. Picked up the jar with the smoke in it, the worm's dead. The jar of chocolate syrup even, the worm's dead. And he sat it down and lastly he picked up that jar of nice, rich soil. And here the worm is thriving. And he sat down the jar and he looked at the congregation. And he says, what do we learn from this lesson today? And he listened for a minute and finally a little old lady stood up in the back. She says, as long as you drink alcohol, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. You can slave over a message, but that doesn't mean folks are going to get it. Huh? These men were preaching boldly. They were declaring the Word of God. And the religious leaders, in their prejudice against Jesus, their prejudice against the Word of God, didn't hear. They rejected the message of the gospel. Even the evidence. Hey, the thing that bugged them most was that the people were flocking to them. Thousands were being saved. And in their jealousy, they lashed out at these men. Folk, I pray for boldness in these days. You know, the pressure seems to be getting greater and greater all the time to shut us up. Huh? We're supposed to be accommodating to all different beliefs and ideas about God and how you get to heaven, and we're not supposed to offend anybody. But beloved, these men, Peter and John must have been independent Baptists. They were so narrow here that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one name. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha, but Jesus. One Jesus. None other name under heaven given among men. But aren't you glad, aren't you thankful today that we can declare that name? That there is a name that we can commend folks to. That in the name of Jesus, folks can be delivered from their sins. And know everlasting life. Yes, we see them in their bold preaching and even in the strong position that they took. We also see their simplicity, their brave simplicity. Peter and John were simple men, weren't they? They were simple men. Fishermen by trade. And until the day they met Jesus, they got up every morning and went to the Sea of Galilee, pushed their boat out, prepared their nets, and went fishing. Now, they weren't sport fishermen. They weren't there. They didn't go fishing for the fun of it. Huh? It's a different story. It's a different thing when you do something for fun and when you have to do it to live, to eat. These men labored. Hey, this was hard work. And they went every day to their ships. They lived simple lives. And in their simplicity, they met Jesus. And everything about them changed. As we read here in verse 13, it says, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," oh, when the religious crowd, when they took note of their boldness. What is it about you guys? I mean, they were puzzled. They couldn't understand it. These unlearned and ignorant men. Huh? They weren't, they had never been to Bible school. They never spent a day in Bible college. They were ignorant men by the council standards. It's interesting. I got this new Bible program. Woo doggy. All you got to do is learn how to use it. That word for ignorant there, it's the word idiotas. Guess what word we get from that? Huh? As far as the council was concerned, they were idiots. Who do you think you are that you would dare to try to correct us? We're the educated of Israel. We're the leaders of Israel. What gives you the right to stand and correct us? Now think about it. Peter and John, again, you know, they never spent a day in Bible college. What, quote, what Baptist church would even consider them for the pastorate of their church? Think about it. Huh? Can you imagine Peter standing behind the pulpit of Dallas First Baptist this morning? Huh? the reality of the thing. They were simple men, but touched of God. Unskilled. And the religious leaders marveled at them. They marveled at them. The council of learned men, they were bewildered by this. Who were these guys? And here they were. But even with all of their objections, even with their recognizing their unlearned, ignorant standing, they marveled. They marveled. Where? How could they preach so powerfully? Where did they get this confidence to even stand before us? How can they so fearlessly proclaim their convictions? It's good questions, aren't they? Indeed. There was only one answer. There was only one answer. And even this bunch of religious hypocrites recognized it, even though they hated to acknowledge it. The reason Peter and John could preach as they did, because they'd been with Jesus. That's what they said. They took knowledge of them. It's almost as if they were nodding their head, yeah. They'd been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. They had been with their beautiful Savior. They had spent time with the Lord. They had lived with Him. They communed with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had listened to Him teach and preach. They had heard Him take the bread and break it and give thanks before His Father. What a thought, huh? Consider that. They'd been with Him. What do we need today, beloved? What do we need today if we're going to see the power of God in our church? What do we need today if we're going to see His power in our witnessing? What do we need? What do I need? What does this preacher need if I'm going to see the power of God on the teaching and preaching from this pulpit? I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We need to spend time with Him. And I'm not talking about just going through the motions of our morning devotions, and that's important to have our quiet time with the Lord. We need that. I need that. That time in prayer and the Word, we can't go on without it, beloved. I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about seeking to abide with Him. Not just a casual time, but to give ourselves to Him. Jesus, I need You this morning. As the alarm woke me up this morning, about 4:30, and I sat down there at the table and read through this passage and began looking at my notes, and the Lord just put that weight on me. You can study passages of Scripture. You can memorize, and oh my, how we need to do that. We can do all those things, beloved, but if we don't know Him personally, and again, I'm not just saying being saved. I mean, know Him. Spend that time. Cultivate that relationship with Him. Jesus, I'm Yours. Please enter in. Help me every moment, with every situation, with every decision, with every word, with every thought that passes our mind. Might it be with Him. With Him. What would change in our lives if that was so. Yeah, I know. It got real quiet when I asked myself that question too. A lot would change, would it not? A lot would change. If I sense His presence, there's a lot that won't go across His mind, isn't there? There's a lot that these eyes would not gaze upon. There's a whole lot that probably wouldn't pass over these lips. Huh? There may be some things that these hands would not do. And certainly there may be some places that these feet wouldn't go. Hey, if I sensed His presence. Maybe that's the answer to my own statement, isn't it? It may just be we really don't want to entertain His presence to that extent. But oh, the price, beloved. Even the fruit of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I read the book of Acts, and you might pray I just stay out of the book of Acts. When I read the book of Acts, my heart just swells up. When I see how these early disciples, I mean, it was not an 11 to 12 relationship with Christ on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
And then maybe, hey, if the quote unquote real spiritual folks come out on Sunday night, maybe show up at prayer meeting. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about that continual, abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? What do we say? That 24/7 relationship with Him. When that's a reality, as it was to Peter and John, should it be different for Jim Turner? Should my relationship with Christ be different than Peter's was? He said, well, Peter, he was the first pope. I mean, oh no. Wash my mouth out. Peter was an apostle.
That's right. Amen.
Surely it was, beloved, Peter was a man of flesh and blood, just like me.
Amen.
Just like you. The only difference is how much of Jim Turner does God possess? How much of Jim Turner is under His control? Just how sensitive is Jim Turner to the Holy Spirit of God's directing and leading? Moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, that we would live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think it might change the way we witness?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Hey, it was just the day before Peter was walking into that temple, remember? And he took note of a crippled man. And God used him. Used him to deliver that man from the bondage of his uncooperative body. And then taking advantage of that and seeing the crowds gathered, preached and declared the gospel, and 5,000 people were saved. I wonder if I'd even notice the crippled man. Are you listening? Let alone being sensitive enough to what God was wanting to do that day. How many opportunities to use these lips and this heart and life for God do we just totally miss? Because we're so caught up, so busy with ourselves. Beloved, I believe that we can have that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that whether it's off building trucks or or at the hospital or the nursing home, whatever our job or occupation, whatever we may be doing, God can still use us there.
Amen, that's right.
It's a matter of our being sensitive to Him and His Spirit. It all started, remember, with Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Jim Turner's problem, and maybe some of our problem here, is that we're just not yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. And if I'm not surrendered and yielded to Him, how am I going to know the presence of Christ in my life? Huh? When I got saved, God was pleased to give us the Spirit of Christ, right? I need to be sensitive. I need to be yielded to Him if I expect God to use me. Beloved, I so long. Please, I covet your prayers for me, and I promise to pray for you. That God would change the normal. That the new normal might be walking in that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Walking in that daily communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you long to see folks saved? Huh? Beloved, I've been saved going nearly, 38 years or so. I still don't forget that night. Do you? Some of you have been saved a lot. You still remember it, don't you? It was wonderful. It was wonderful that night when I got up off my knees. I knew God did something in me. Don't we long for others to know that? Don't we long for others to be delivered from those chains of sin and the bondage of the wicked one? Oh my, I trust we do. And I believe that as you and I begin to walk and live with Jesus, commune with Him, that we'll see this place filled up. And I'm not so worried about having a packed house as much as I am the souls
Amen.
that means we'd reach.
Amen.
Huh? And the souls that they would reach.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my. Might we just pray, God be pleased. Please to work in our hearts and lives in such a way that we know Jesus, the reality of His presence. I need that. And I believe we all need that. Friend, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never experienced what you're talking about. Friend, I just want to commend Jesus to you. Changed my life when I was 22 years old. And I haven't got over it yet. And I commend Him to you. He died to pay the price of your sins. And if you're here without Him, I plead with you. Right now, before you leave this church house, seek Him as your Savior. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Him. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before You today. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God that records for us things like we've read today, what took place that day for Peter and John. Father, they were willing. They were willing to, regardless of the personal cost, stand for Jesus. To proclaim that name, the lovely name, whereby men might be saved. And Father, I'm asking You for this preacher. And I'm asking You for this church. Lord, help us Oh, God, I pray that we'd grow closer to You. That we would value and esteem, treasure the time that we spend with You. Oh, God, I pray that wherever we go, that You'd go with us. That Your Spirit would so control, so lead, so direct. That answer of the hope that lieth within us would forever and always be upon our lips. To tell precious, precious lost souls how they too might know Jesus and have everlasting life. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that, Lord, I don't know men's hearts. I don't know the hearts of folk within this room today. But Lord, I'm asking You in the name of Jesus, there be one here, maybe some, young or old, man or woman, that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Please, Lord, even today, hold out Your Son to them. Encourage them, Father, that today might be the day of their salvation. Oh God, grant it, I pray. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, we pray it. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 153.
As we sing, folks, these altars are open. You use them as God would direct, please. You're here and you need to be saved. Come. Just come. Don't hesitate. Come. Take this preacher by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know. I want to know I'm right with God. Please come. Friend, if you're here, beloved church member, if you're like me this morning, I just want Jesus. I want Him to rule and reign in the heart and life of Jim Turner. Might it be our prayer. Might it be our prayer. Brother John.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
Thank you, Brother John. He's kind of struggling with his voice, so please pray for Brother John. It's a tough question. We sing that song, I Surrender All. And as we sing those words, I can't always help but just wonder, what's that mean? I mean, we understand what it means, but we always seem to put limitations on it, don't you? We surrender, but to here, to there. There's always seems to be something we hold in reserve. And I'm praying that we'd be willing to take the stops out. It's all yours, God. It's all yours. Belong to You. Use me for Your glory. Use all I have for Your glory. Let it be. Amen. You can be seated, Brother Curtis. You come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward to receive this morning's offering... It's good to say we've been to church today. The rain. You know, the other day I heard somebody say, I wish the Lord let it rain. He always has. It's been in His time, though. It's never been in ours. It's always been in His. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for everything You've given us, Lord. Thank You for the fact that we can say, yes, Lord, we've been to church today. A wonderful message we've heard of encouragement. Lord, right now, be it through the offering we're about to receive. Be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a few announcements. Brother John asked to meet with everybody who has a speaking part. I guess that's the best way to say it, narration part in the Christmas cantata right up here immediately after church. He said 2 minutes. I'd say after three, get up and go to lunch. No. Tonight we're going to have missionary Andy Sturm. Snack night. We are tonight, the youth is going to go to CC's tonight after church. We'll have snack night since tomorrow most of everybody's going to be out of school, so don't have to worry about getting up early. We'll go to CC's and enjoy ourselves and see how much pizza we can eat. Ladies Fellowship is going to be Thursday. College Career is going to have a game night Friday. Next Saturday, we're going to have a youth conference. We're going to take the kids down to Cleveland to a youth conference. That's going to be a $10 thing. Try to keep our things cheap, but just sometimes you just got to fork out a little money to do some of this stuff. Missions conference next week. Looking forward to this. We've been planning. I'm excited about this. It's going to be something different. At least it is for us, I do believe. Look on the schedule there to see what we got coming up. Calvary Baptist on the 23rd, which is going to be next Sunday. Is this correct, preacher? 23rd next Sunday? Yes. The 23rd. On our next Sunday's youth conference, it's going to be like a fifth Sunday setting. So, excuse me, missions conference. I say youth conference. Missions conference. Thank you. And we'll dismiss early. They have invited us, if we'd like, to come participate in their 58th anniversary. That's Brother Shannon Eaton's church. There's an address right there over on the east side of Fort Worth, I do believe. Fifth Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of the month. Ladies ensemble today, 4:30. Very good. Choir practice at 5. Evening service at 6:30. Ladies visitation Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Youth choir practice at 6:15. Ladies fellowship on Thursday at 7. Let's see, we covered that. I think we're good enough for now. Good turn.
All right, let's stand, please. As Brother Turner said, my voice is kind of bad, but I'll start y'all off, and y'all just take it from there. All right, send the light on the chorus. Send the light. Thank you.